Take your Bibles with me. Turn to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. This evening I want to preach a message that I've entitled, The Danger of Following Afar Off. The Danger of Following Afar Off. We talked last time I preached, I preached a message on Peter when he got out. You know, it's easy to have faith in the boat. And he got out of the boat and he ended up falling. But at the same time, he did have success. He was able, he walked in the water. He had faith. Peter, when you look throughout Scripture, he has some times where he struggles a little bit. But he really was, if you look through it, he was the most bold. He was the most outspoken. He probably, if they were in a high school class and had a yearbook, he would probably be the one that was voted most likely to succeed, right? He was the apostle who was listed first in Matthew chapter 10. Peter walked on water while everyone else stayed in the boat. In Matthew chapter 14, and Peter was the apostle who declared that Jesus to be the Christ, the Son of the living God, in Matthew chapter 16. He also, in Matthew chapter 17, was one of the disciples who got to see Christ transfigured. Peter was the most bold and fearless of the apostles. But he wasn't above the dangers that come when you follow afar off. When you start to relax in your Christian life. There are four things I want to share with you this evening. Four dangers that come when you follow afar off. Four things that no matter how long you've been a Christian, that if you follow Christ afar off, you cannot avoid. Look with me beginning in Matthew chapter 26, verse 57. The Word of God says, And they laid a hold on Jesus and led him away to Caiaphas the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. Verse 58, look at this. But Peter followed him afar off unto the high priest's palace and went in and sat with the servants to see the end. You look at all the other times when I spoke that Peter was doing something. Where was he? He was always right next to Jesus. He was right by his side. Where is he now? He's following afar off. We do the same things many times, don't we? We follow Christ, but only as much as we're comfortable with. When things get hard or when things get tough, we take a step back because we don't want to go any further. We don't want to push through it. We don't want our faith to be challenged. We stay back far enough so we can be comfortable. Go ahead and look, though. Again, there are dangers that come. And what are those dangers? Number one, the first danger is you lose direction. You lose direction. Matthew chapter 26, verse 57. Let's read this again. It says, Then he laid hold on Jesus and led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. But Peter followed him afar off unto the high priest's palace and went in and sat down to see the servants. You look through the beginning of Matthew, even until the point that Peter fails. And he's right there with Christ the entire time. But at this point, he's decided to stay back a little bit. He's decided to stay back where he can just catch a glimpse of Christ. Just be there and just look over people's shoulders. Have you guys ever had a time when you had to follow someone? You're in a car and you have to follow someone. They know where they're going, but you don't know where you're going, so you have to follow them. And you have that time where they go through and you get stopped at the red light, and you just have to hope and pray that they stop and wait for you. It's a little hard when you end up having to follow afar off because the stress comes up. I remember when I was driving the teenagers, my last church, End of the Wilds, I was the second, usually either the second or third van in line, and so I was always having to follow that first van. And they just liked driving a little faster than I did. In a 15-passenger van with 15 teenagers in it. It was a little stressful already, but then they would, you know, get going up to, you know, 70, 75, 80 miles an hour, and I'm kind of dropping back, and you know what I do? I was stressing out. I was a little uncomfortable. And you know what would happen is I would have to try to catch up, or I was going to lose them. You see, when you follow afar off, guess what's a danger? You lose direction completely because you lose sight. I remember one time I decided that I was going to run and really get into running. And so I asked the assistant pastor at the church at the time. He visited just a little while ago with his family, Caleb Lancaster. I asked him to run with me. And I don't think he knew the definition of running with me because, well, we started off, and for the first maybe half mile, I was catching up with him only because I was running as fast as I possibly could. He was jogging. But I was keeping up with as much as possible, and then I decided, you know what, I'll just let him get up a little bit further ahead, and then I'll just follow him. Well, I slowed down a little bit. He didn't. He just kept going. And eventually, guess what happened? I lost complete sight. And I was just running, and eventually I somehow found myself in the middle of a cemetery. I had no clue where he was. There was no possible way I could follow him. Because I let up. And eventually he got out of sight. Have you ever had a time when maybe you've let up? You've taken a step back. You decided not to press forward. You know, Peter couldn't see that he was putting himself in a position where he would deny Christ. He didn't see that he was losing sight of the one who should have meant the most to him. In Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12 says, "There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." It does not matter how long you have been a Christian. When you let up, when you slow down, you run the risk of losing direction. You run the risk of losing sight of Christ. And I don't know about you, but I don't like to trust my reasoning when it comes to making decisions all the time. I want to trust this book. I want to trust God's Word. I want to trust what He says. Because the Bible says the heart of man is deceitfully wicked. That includes my heart. That includes my flesh. You know, God can give more discernment. He can give direction. And He can give you the ability to know more and more as time goes on, as you draw closer to Him, right from wrong. But the moment you take a step back, you begin to lose direction. Psalm 119, 105 says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." You might say, I follow Christ, but you know, I don't really read my Bible as I should. You know, I follow Christ, but I don't really come to church as I should. I'm really speaking to the Sunday night crowd, so all you guys probably not the exact ones who I should be saying that to, right? But yeah, I follow Christ, but I don't pray as I should. We can say that we're following Christ all we want. It's easy to go ahead and sing a song saying, "I pledge allegiance to the Lamb." The hard thing is actually doing it. You know, every single time I sing a song like, and I'm so thankful for great music like that. The great music that challenges you. Because every single time I sing a song like that, I have to think to myself, saying, am I lying? Because I don't want, if I'm going to sing a song about Christ, a song about the Bible, a song about God, I don't want to lie while I'm singing it. I don't want to be flippant when I'm singing. I want to listen to the words. I don't look at the words. And I want what I'm singing to be true of myself. If I'm going to sing, "I pledge allegiance to the Lamb," I want to pledge allegiance to the Lamb of God. Amen? I don't want to lose direction. I don't want to follow afar off. The Bible says in Psalm 37:23, it says, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way." If we want to make sure we don't lose direction, we have to let God order our steps. We have to let God direct our steps. And that takes making sure you're not falling afar off. Making sure you're right there with Him. Making sure you're always pressing forward in the Christian life. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, very famous verses, says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not on thine own understandings. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths." Proverbs chapter 6, verse 23 says, "For the commandment is a lamp, and thy law is light, and the reproof of instruction are the ways, the direction of life." Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, my life verses. It says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight." You know, if you're weighed down, if you got things weighing you down, you can't run as fast. You know what tends to happen? You tend to get back a little bit. You tend to not be able to follow as closely. You know, notice that doesn't say lay aside every sin, but it says lay aside every weight. That includes sin, but also includes things in your life that maybe they aren't necessarily sin. But it's something that's taken a wrong place in your life that needs to be set aside so you can be more free to serve God. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Here's how. Looking unto Jesus for direction. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. We need to run our race with direction. And we run our race with direction by looking unto Jesus. I ask you this question: what are you doing right now to follow the Lord? What are you doing right now to serve the Lord? Jesus wants you to follow Him. Jesus wants to give you direction. The Bible says all you have to do is look to Him. The danger of following afar off is you lose direction. Next, you also lose drive. You lose the drive. You don't want to move forward anymore. Luke chapter 22, verse 54 says, And they took Him, speaking of Jesus, and led Him and brought Him into the high priest's house. And Peter followed, here it is again, and Peter followed afar off. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall, and were set down together, and Peter sat down among them. Why didn't he go farther? He lost the drive to go further. He lost the commitment to go further. Because he had followed afar off. When you follow Christ afar off, you tend to lose sight of the goal. You lose direction. When you lose direction, you sit down. Just as Peter lost sight of Christ and sat down. Let me just say this. When you lose direction and when you lose drive, it's hard to really do something for Christ. I praise the Lord for a pastor who has such vision and such direction from the Lord. And let me just tell you, a drive to see things done. Amen. Just coming here, and I remember just in February coming here and visiting and talking to him and just listening to the things that he wanted to see done for Christ. And even now just talking with him and fellowshipping with him and hearing the things that he wants to see done and hearing just the direction he has. We don't have a pastor who just sits down and thinks, "So what's a good thing to do? Oh, this would be good." No, we have a pastor who sits down and thinks, "Why are we going to do what we're doing? What direction are we going to do in? How does this fit the direction?" I've only been here for a couple months. I love our pastor. You know what? Our pastor loves God. And he's following and he has a drive. Let me just say, if you're struggling with the drive, if you're you just say, I don't really have a drive. I'm not really motivated to go and serve, to go do the things. Get involved here. Talk to Pastor Holmes. Let me just say, he will have 100 things that you can get involved with and he can share with you. If you're having trouble finding somewhere to get plugged in, finding somewhere to get involved, let me just say, it's not anyone else's fault but your own. Get involved, find something to do, make it your own. You know, if you're busy doing something, busy involved in helping in the church, you have ownership of it. You get more involved and you care more about it. At my last church, I remember there was a man, he would just come and he would pressure wash the front of the church, making sure there were no spider webs, nothing there, making sure it was just clean. No one asked him to do it, but he made it his own. You lose enthusiasm. When you're just sitting down, you're not doing anything. You lose enthusiasm. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth. And reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." I press toward that mark. Can you say that for yourself? Again, in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, it says, "Let us run with patience." Not just walk, run. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24 says, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain." We're talking about prayer. I'm helping and filling in for pastor in a Sunday school class on Sunday mornings right now. We've been talking about the importance of prayer for the last 2 weeks. And we talked about, it's so easy when you pray. You sit down for a meal. You're praying in the morning. And you just pray, "God, bless this day. And thank you so much for what I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen." And we do our devotions. We pray. But we don't really get a blessing from God. You know the reason? Because we lost our drive. We need to sit there in the morning. We need to sit there in a time of devotions and grab on to God and say, "I'm not letting you go until you bless me." We've got to be like Jacob. It's not letting it go of God until he blesses, until he gives you something you can take and take with you for the rest of the day. What kind of soldier would what kind of soldier, if he's just having a little trouble, you know, getting his armor on, you just would be like, "Okay, well, I couldn't really get my armor on this morning. I'm just going to go into battle." No. He's going to sit there and he's going to get other people to help him. He's going to do whatever he has to get that armor on, get ready for battle. But as Christians, we sit there in the morning, we look at our Bible and we go, John 11:35, Jesus wept. Okay, I'm good for the day. That's not at all what Christ has in mind when he's talking about devotion. Think about what you're saying. He says, when you say devotions, devote. Have you truly devoted yourself? I challenge you, devote yourself to getting something from God every single day. Do you know when I do that, you know what happens? I get something from God every time. And it's not because I'm special. Trust me, I'm not. My wife completely showed that I can't play sports as well as her yesterday. I'm nothing special. Pastor Holmes, a great man of God, he is nothing special. Frank Wiesner, he's nothing special. Do you know what? Do you know why? Do you know who is special? The God we serve. The God we serve is special. The God we serve is powerful. And if you allow Him to, He'll give you that direction. And you know what? He'll give you that drive. Don't lose sight of the finish. Don't lose sight of Christ. Press forward. You not only lose direction when you follow afar off, you not only lose direction, you not only lose drive, but you lose discernment. Look at Matthew chapter 26, verse 73. Matthew chapter 26, verse 73, it says, "And after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, Surely thou art one of them, for thy speech bewrayeth thee. Then he began to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew." You know, often when we follow Christ and we take a step back and we follow Christ afar off, we lose direction, we lose drive, and guess what? We lose discernment. The things that we used to struggle with, the bad habits, the language, whatever it may be, guess what comes back? We return to the things that we used to do, and we lose discernment. Do you think Peter would have denied Christ if he was right next to him? Do you think he would have cursed if he was standing right next to Christ? We lose discernment. It doesn't matter how long you've been a Christian, how long you've been following Christ, you're not immune. If you relax and let up your pursuit of Christ, you will lose discernment. We need to live in a state of dissatisfied sanctification. I'll say that again and again, as many times as I have to. Dissatisfied sanctification. Never satisfied with where we are at in our Christian life. Always pressing forward. Always pressing forward and running toward Christ. I think that's what happens though, right? We make a decision for Christ and we become happy with where we're at. We become satisfied with where we're at and we let up. And we start going backwards. In the Word of God, we've seen God give a fixed law of morality. We can see from the Word of God there is a right and there is a wrong. And it's not a matter of opinion. It's not relative. But when you take a step back and you follow God afar off, and you lose sight of that fixed law of morality, and things that should seem wrong, things that should be wrong to you, they don't seem as wrong anymore. You lose discernment. Some of you, you might not have discernment yet. But the Bible says you get into the Word of God, you study the Word of God, and God will give you discernment. Look at Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12 through 14. It says, For time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as need of milk and not of strong meat. In other words, you guys should be eating, you guys should be eating steak. You guys are still drinking milk. You're not even capable of eating steak yet. Or you were capable of eating steak yet. You were capable of the deeper things of God and more discernment. But you've taken a step back and now you're not anymore. You've lost discernment and now you need to go back to the basic things. The milk of the Word. So you can grow again. It says, "For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even to those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern between both good and evil." Whether or not you have good discernment is whether or not you've exercised your discernment. How many of you have ever exercised before? Raise your hand. Okay, I think all of us at some point have exercised. Now, if you go and you exercise for 2 weeks, in 2 weeks, you might not see much improvement, but you see some improvement, right? But what if you then go and you stop exercising for 2 weeks? What happens? You'll lose everything you just got. The muscle that you gain just becomes slab under your arm, right? You have to exercise your discernment. the more you're in God's Word, the closer you become to the Lord Jesus Christ, the more discernment He will give you. When you back away and when you follow Christ afar off, you're not exercising that discernment and you lose it. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." Colossians chapter 4, verse 5 says, "Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time." James chapter 1, verse 5 says, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him." Let me just say this, none of us are as wise or as discerning as we could be. None of us are as wise or discerning as we could be. But you know how we can become more discerning? How we could have more wisdom? It's actually quite clear in the Scripture. God literally says, just ask and He will joyfully give it to you. If you seek after wisdom, He will give it to you liberally. He won't hold back. God wants to give you wisdom. God wants to give you discernment. God wants to give you the ability to live for Him. Isn't that crazy? You mean God actually wants to give you the ability to live for Him, even though you might not have the complete ability to do that right now? God wants to change you. God wants to make you and form you into an image of Himself. He does. You have to be willing, though. And you can't follow afar off. We can walk in wisdom if we walk with God, because He will give it to us. When you follow afar off, another danger is, first, you lose direction. You lose drive. You lose discernment. Lastly, you lose delight. You lose your joy. Look with me again in Matthew chapter 26, verse 73. It says, "After a while they came unto him that stood by and said to Peter, Surely thou art one of them, for thy speech bewrayeth thee. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew." Look at verse number 75. Verse 75 of Matthew chapter 26. I want everyone looking there. Verse 75 says, "And Peter remembered the word of Jesus." Verse 75. "And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." And look at this. "And he went out and wept bitterly." And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, "Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." And he went out and wept bitterly. Because he lost direction by following afar off, he had no more drive. We had no more drive. He had a lapse of judgment. And we had a lapse of judgment. His joy was now gone. His joy was turned into sorrow. And he wept bitterly. When you follow Christ afar off, it's only going to lead to sorrow in your life. Some of you say, "I've been following Christ afar off. I haven't been following Christ as I should. And that I don't have the joy that I should. I don't have the joy of Christ right now in my life. I know the Lord Jesus Christ is my Savior. I know that when I die, I will spend eternity with Him. But I don't have the joy of Christ in my life." Can I just say that God says that He wants to give it to you? That He will restore it to you? Psalm 51, verse 12, David writes, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit." John 15, verse 9 says, As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, so ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Not halfway. We talked in Sunday school again this morning how we tend to be satisfied with our joy rising up and falling down again, and rising up and falling down, and just have mountain peaks of joy. It's not how the Christian life is supposed to be lived. The Christian life is supposed to be lived with our joy full. It's supposed to be lived with our joy just completely full and overflowing. Some of us, we're not living like that. We don't have that joy. Peter lost his joy because he lost his direction. When he lost his direction, he lost his drive. He didn't care about going any further. He sat down. When he lost his drive, guess what happened? He lost his discernment. He did something he knew that he shouldn't have done. And when he lost his discernment, he lost his delight. The question is, what it comes down to, why? Why did he follow far off? And even better, when? When did he start falling afar off? When did he stop pursuing Christ? When did he stop being the disciple who walked on water, who proclaimed Jesus to be the Christ, the Son of the living God, who saw Christ transfigured? When did he stop being that disciple and start following Christ afar off? Look with me in Matthew chapter 26, verse 40. Matthew chapter 26, verse 40. They're in the garden. Christ has gone there to pray. And he's asked his disciples to pray with him. It says, And he cometh unto his disciples and findeth them asleep. And saith unto who? Look at that. Saith unto who? Peter. That's interesting. What? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Verse 41. Watch and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. You wonder when Peter began falling afar off. Right there in the garden. He was asleep. Jesus told Peter, stay awake. Right now, of all times, you need to stay awake. You need to follow closely. You need to watch. You need to pray. Because if you don't, you will enter into temptation. And right there, there's the why, and there's the when. Peter failed to watch and to pray. Prayer is important. Prayer is very, very important. Why? We've talked about this in our Sunday school class. There's a devil. We have an adversary. He wants you to fail. The Bible says he is as a roaring lion, seeking about, walking about, seeking whom he may devour. You go to a zoo and you see where the lions are. They're in a cage, aren't they? They're in a cage. They're held back by that cage. And that cage is there for your protection, so that that lion can't get you. The cage for the Christian is prayer. When we pray, when we watch, and when we pray, that cage is put up. And that lion has no ability to get us. Now, it doesn't mean that trials and tribulations can't come our way. But it does mean that lion can't clamp down on your arm. You see, when you're following Christ as close as you can, you have direction. When you have direction, you have drive. When you have drive, you gain discernment. And when you gain discernment, guess what you also gain? Delight. You know, some of you, you might say that you've lost that direction. You don't have the drive. You know you don't have the discernment. You don't know everything. You know you don't know everything you should. And you don't have that joy. Some of you say you've had it before, but you've lost it. Can I just say that there is a way back? Even for Peter. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 5. If we can have that on the screen. If I can go 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 5. I apologize. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 5. I gave the wrong verse and had the wrong verse written down. Let me turn there. 2 Peter chapter 3. Verse number 5. This is Peter writing. Verse 15. I'm just lost now. Or 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 15. Wow. I'll get there eventually. Once you write it down wrong the first time. There we go. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. I think it's kind of funny. You read that verse, and what is this verse saying? It's saying make sure that God is number one in your life. And make sure that at every single moment, no matter what is going on, no matter how easy, no matter how hard, no matter what is going on, no matter who comes to you, you are ready to give an answer and to defend your faith. Look who wrote that. Peter. Don't you think it might seem that he learned his lesson? That even though he had lost direction, he gained it back, didn't he? Even though he lost his drive, he gained it back, didn't he? Even though he lost his discernment, guess what? He gained it back, didn't he? And even though he lost his joy, guess what? God gave it back to him. Take this verse with you. Sanctify the Lord God in your heart. In your life, be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Let's pray.